Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Vroom, vroom, we're in our mum's cars and we are heading to Indianapolis this weekend. However, since we're still in the UK, boys, we're gonna have to take the fast lane. I wrote it down.
Before we started rolling, he went, "Are you ready for this intro?" It didn't disappoint.
There you go. Hello, everybody.
My body was not ready for that intro.
Well, I put everything into that. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Nine Pitches video for this Saturday's Fastlane Premium live event. As you can see, the lineup is a little bit different. I'm your host today, little Andrew Dingle, joined by the most handsome delight in all of the Isle of Wight, one Adam Pacitti.
Oh, stop it.
And also Impact Wrestling's very own Tom Campbell.
How are you doing? They'll never take that away from me.
It's
just me in a abyss now.
How are you boys doing? Are you good?
Yeah, grand. Yeah, in a really good spirit. So I'm looking forward to this. It's a bit of a weird card, isn't it? Because there's only five matches announced at the moment.
Short
and we've
one.
Got nine pitches to do. So I think there's going to be a bit of crossover here, maybe.
Probably. You're
so
looking forward
jealous
to
jealous that you get a five match.
Oh, that is so good. Team WWE.
We kind of just fobbed you off there, haven't we? With the long ones.
AEW, because more is more.
Hey. Even though it's five matches, I think it's going to be delightful anyway.
Yeah,
I think it should be a good
one.
No
pre-show matches either. They squeeze like three or four on yours, don't they? Amazing.
We're eating good tonight, everybody. If you've not watched the Nine Pitches video before, the premise is simple. We will go around the table, each taking turns to deliver a pitch. It will go Adam, then Tom, then myself, three times until we end up with nine lovely, wonderful pitches. But let's not forget that golden rule. It's not what we think is going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
No! God damn it, every single time. Adam, would you like to kick us off in tremendous fashion, please?
Yeah, why not? I'm going to start with the World Heavyweight title match between Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura. I've written these out as if they're like movie synopses. Synopsises?
I like this,
I don't
yes.
know a word for it. And I've given this one a nice title. No Men Standing.
Oh, well, I wonder what could happen.
Basically sums it up, doesn't it? I shouldn't have read that. So, the last man standing World Heavyweight title match between champion Seth Rollins and challenger Shinsuke Nakamura will be a brutal and ultra-stiff war. The two men will go hell for leather at Fastlane, beating each other to a pulp with vicious strikes and suplexes, with Nakamura trying to wear down the architect, specifically the back, obviously, with brutal submission holds as well. It won't be enough, as despite Shinsuke's best efforts, Rollins will mount a comeback and drop some bombs of his own, getting very close to keeping his foe down for the count in the process. With the intensity of the action gradually being ramped up and both men exhausted from a hard-fought contest, something big will happen to make sure that the last man standing match ultimately results in no men standing at all. It could either be a big bump, like some sort of move that puts them both through the announce table, or sees them careen off some scaffolding somewhere in the arena, or a simultaneous weapon strike that knocks them both down and out for a 10. Whatever it is that finally puts Rollins and Nakamura down will be enough to convince ringside doctors that the match cannot continue, as both men are helped out of the arena. Rollins, ever the babyface, will insist that he leaves under his own power. He's off on his own.
Okay.
Shoves the doctors away. He's right. So proud. He's a fighting champion. This obviously will provide an intriguing ending for the latest chapter in their rivalry, but it also sets the stage for the proper blow off at Crown Jewel October.
I thought you were going to say Survivor Series instead.
No. Crown Jewel. And my suggestion for that finale would be an I Quit match. We've not seen one since, I think it was last year's Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view. And that would provide the definitive ending to the Seth and Shinsuke saga. And it makes Seth look the bollocks.
Unless no man quits.
Yeah.
And they do it again.
No. We'll do that next time.
Oh, I'm so on the fence about this one. I'm gonna give it one of these.
Okay.
I'm on the fence because one, I would love to see Shinsuke actually win the belt. I think the stuff that he's doing at the moment has been some of the best stuff he's done for a long time. And I don't want him, not that he'd look weak coming out of it, but I'm guessing is who's gonna be the one that comes out of Crown Jewel saying I quit?
Oh, Seth.
You think
Seth?
Okay.
Because he's looked so good. He's been a fine champion all this time. I don't think it hurts him, especially if he's got to go away and get his back healed up, then I think it's all right. It would be so unexpected. It would make Shinsuke look the bollocks if that were to happen.
That's true.
And Seth will be away for a while. People forget that he quit.
No, but I guess that's the thing, is him having to say, I quit. But he's still pushing through. It is a big thing.
It's a big deal, but I think it's worth it to put all of that energy behind Shinsuke.
Okay.
And I mean, make Shinsuke look so good.
It's like quarter two. It's like... Okay. 5-2.
What would you like to see? You gave us a few ideas there. The big spot that leaves no man standing.
I'd put the scaffolding thing in because I love scaffolding. It's more interesting. Like announced table spots, we've seen him done plenty of times. They happen like on Monday Night Raw and stuff at this point, don't they? It's not the biggest deal. So I don't know what the arena looks like. Maybe there's something big that they can both jump off. Maybe it looks like Shinsuke is about to chuck Seth off, but Seth manages to grab him on the way down and they
pull him down.
Tumble to the floor or something like that. I don't know. Something like a high spot. Literally a high spot.
A high
spot.
Well, for the sake of a high spot, I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
Thank you.
I like a high spot in me wrestling. Like
I'm envisioning. Do you remember like the old SmackDown versus Raw games where you go out into that little bit in the crowd and there's just that scaffold in there for no apparent reason with all like the TV and all these conveniently placed things? If it's something like that, then I'm down for it, yeah.
It's got to be big. The problem here with the whole Shinsuke-Seth rivalry is that I think most people are just expecting Shinsuke to lose, whether or not this is the blow-off, and then Shinsuke drops back down, maybe never return to the world title picture. So I really want to put the attention on Shinsuke while protecting Seth a little bit, making him look good. He looks great here, but Shinsuke does something even more abhorrent at the Crown Jewel pay-per-view to finally make Seth say, I quit.
Maybe we'll have some a bit later. A gentleman never tells. Ooh. Tom, would you like to bless us with your first pitch, please?
Okay, so on the Mountain Dew Maximum 5-Hour Energy Kickoff Show, LA Knight is attacked as he's entering the stadium by Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso.
Ooh.
They end up throwing him in the White River near the stadium. Just adjacent.
Oh, a bit of research there. Yeah, look at that.
That's good.
There's the White River, which runs through it, and he gets hoyed into there. John Cena's all on his Todd, facing Sikoa and Uso. And this is how Fastlane opens. John Cena going, wow, I'm on my own. Could go and get him, but I've got stuff to do. So it's a handicap match, and John Cena fighting from underneath for a good long while. And just when all looks lost, Solo Sikoa is about to drive his thumb deep into the throat of John Cena one more time. Tron lights up. And there's cameras by the riverbank.
Oh!
Where a fishing trawler has docked. It is a tugboat driven by tugboats.
No.
Oh. Yes! Tuggers speaks to somebody just off screen and goes, this is as close as I can get you, I'm afraid. Toot toot, is that okay? And the person we can't see responds in the affirmative.
Yeah.
The Rock.
No. Yes, that is The Rock. Moments later, LA Knight jumps off the boat, marches into the building. His music hits and he walks out. He wipes seaweed off his shoulder and charges to the ring. They all hit their trademark moves. AA to Jimmy Uso, and Cena and LA Knight save the kingdom once more. Everybody's happy. And then we just cut back to Tugboat one more time. In his tugboat, he's watching the network on the iPad and he smiles to himself and goes, toot toot, young man. Toot toot.
Right.
And that's my pitch.
We'll discard that last bit.
That's the
I like that. That's the closing, and then he goes off into the fog down the river.
Toot, toot, young man.
Fred Ottman aside.
That's Fred Ottman passing the torch.
Fred, not about Cena anymore.
Ottman. It's Fred Ottman passing the torch to the young generation.
Wow.
John Cena in LA Night.
I actually really love it.
Yes!
Obviously, the tugboat stuff is stupid.
The best part.
But LA Night getting written off, it works so well because on Friday, there was absolute pandemonium as Solo and Jimmy just went around absolutely battering everybody backstage. So it'd be good for that to continue at the top of the pay-per-view. I think that's really good. It's a nice bit of continuity there. LA Knight getting written off, it just makes people want him more, doesn't it? It just makes people want him more.
I think they missed a trick by having him turn up on SmackDown. I'd have had him not show up until Saturday and have Cena fight alone, and like in the 11th hour, you just hit LA Knight. And that's when you do it. And he runs out and saves the day at the very last minute. But I guess they're at a point where they don't want to risk selling a pay-per-view without advertising LA Knight will be.
Yeah, but you've got John Cena there though as well. Yeah, I think that's enough
but
to
even
do
so,
it.
LA Knight.
I think you're totally right there because that makes LA Knight feel even bigger. Because it's one of those things that everybody would be expecting LA Knight. In the same way that, I don't know, go over to AEW, everybody expected Punk, everybody expected Edge, but it's not disappointing, is it? Mm-hmm. People would be so buzzing about it being LA Knight on the night.
And the pop.
I really like it. Obviously, it's a little bit silly. I like the seaweed coming off of his shoulder. I think that's a nice touch. And it's, you know what? I don't think it's one of those matches, like in ring-wise, people are that excited about. You don't want that match to go on for too long because you sort of just know what you're getting, don't you? So to limit that, make John Cena fight against the odds and all that. He's got experience. Maybe he eats a DDT on the outside on the exposed concrete and still manages to get back up. I like it. Yes. It's a big thumbs up from me.
I think, as Adam was saying there, it's not necessarily the in-ring action we're looking forward to. I think it's the ramifications tugboat afterwards. And if the ramifications are we get a little segment with Tugboat going, toot, toot, young man.
Toot, toot, young man.
You go. Well, then I feel like a bit of a... Is hypocrite the right word after I've been like, Adam, I don't know if yours is almost believable, but this one, I'll give it a big thumbs up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I do like it very much. And I like the idea of keeping us in suspense a little bit as to whether LA Knight's going to be there or not. I think that's really good. I guess would the thing be, right, if LA Knight wasn't advertised for being in this match, do you think people would start speculating that, oh, maybe The Rock's going to...
Maybe Tugboat.
Ooh. Which would be the thing, and then people are like, oh, actually.
No, it's okay, because the way that Tom's pitched it, it happens right at the start of the show. Everybody's already bought the pay-per-view, haven't they?
You see him arrive.
Yes, that's true.
Is it too close to SmackDown and John Cena being delayed all night and then finally turning up at the end?
No, because Tugboat's there. Yeah, completely different.
What the difference is, and I'm surprised there's not more questions about Tugboat, the caveat is Tugboat is different. That differentiates it. Tugboat isn't really giving the rub to Cena. Tugboat is giving the rub to LA Knight.
And he needs it the most.
Toot, toot, young man, toot, toot.
Let's say Tugboat is unavailable for this show, Tom.
I'd scrap it.
Yeah, just get rid of
the match. LA Knight's on the river in a little dinghy.
Yeah, I just had a tag match. I wouldn't bother. It's got to be Tugboat in it. It's got to be Tugboat saving him from the river.
It has to be.
Don't do that spot at all.
It has to be.
It's got to be Tugboat. Tuggers.
I don't know how I'm going to follow this up now. Big Tuggers. Doing a big tug.
Is that a yes for...
It's a yes from me,
toot,
Tom.
Toot, young man.
Tugboat got a more affirmative
yes? I said I feel a bit weird giving you like the 5-2 and then Tom like the straight up 12 o'clock. You know what I mean?
Toot.
Well, that's going to be tough to follow up, right? But I'm going to try my hardest anyway, okay?
Strap yourselves in.
We got some long ones, everybody. Right, so Austin Theory beats Dragon Lee in dubious fashion in their scheduled matchup with thanks to his new best friend, Grayson Waller. This is on SmackDown, by the way, because obviously we've got it already announced. Austin Theory is going to go up against Dragon Lee. So A-Town Down Under give the NXT star a shoeing, not to be confused with a shoey. Oh, I love my shoey. That's what... Yeah, Australia. Before Ronald Mysterious and Santos Escobar make the save and chase them off. Now, backstage, we see Dragon Lee getting checked up in medical where Mysterio and Escobar enter to see how he's doing. Lee says, hey, thank you very much for having my back out there tonight. I know you guys are going through your own things right now, but it'd be an honor for me to repay the favor and have your backs too. Whenever you need it, I'll be there. The LWO members thankfully, and the segment ends. Now, we cut to Fastlane on Saturday, where we have the six-man tag team match between the LWO and Bobby Lashley and the Street TPs. Now, at the time of recording, I believe we don't know whether it'll be Cruz del Toro or Joaquin Wilde entering as the third member for the LWO, but it doesn't matter anyway, as either during the pre-show or at the start of the live event, we get a frantic camera cut and we see Ford and Dawkins absolutely laying waste to Cruz del Toro, taking him out of the equation and ensuring there's no numbers advantage this evening, leveling the playing field a bit for the match ahead. Now, later in the night, we see the Profits there enter Lashley's dressing room with Big Bob. He's smiling ear to ear that Ford and Dawkins have finally decided to really step it up and prove themselves to the former WWE champion. Bobby tells the Profits to, hey, you go take it easy, you get ready for the match. But as he excuses them from the room, he gets a little telephone call and he pulls a telephone out of his pocket before the camera cuts. And then, so we get to the six-man tag team match now. And although the LWO, they put up a valiant effort, it's Lashley and the Street Profits who pick up the win in this one. Post-match, the heels go to town on the babyfaces with a relentless beatdown. Bobby holds Ray back and makes him watch as the Profits tear into Mysterio's biological sons, Joaquin Wilde and Santos Escobar, until Dragon Lee makes the save. He rushes towards the ring, steel chair in hand, smacks Bobby in the back, who then releases his grip on Mysterio as the two luchadors quickly go to chase the Profits out of the ring. Now, with Dragon Lee intently keeping watch on the bad boys reeling on the outside of the ring, Ray leans over to Santos to check on his stablemate, and with the camera angle tightly packed in on Rey Mysterio's face, out of nowhere comes a leg drop from the heavens that connects with the back of Mysterio's neck. Dragon Lee turns around to see what's just happened. The Street EPs drag him under the ropes, where Lashley hits a huge spear on the outside to take him out. And now when the camera pans back up, it's none other than him himself, not you yourself, but him himself, Carmelo Hayes, standing tall over the body of Rey Mysterio. Bobby gets in the ring, he nods in approval, and then shakes the hand of his newest recruit to officially seal the deal.
Ooh!
Carmelo Hayes making waves, baby. Yeah.
God, there's a lot to unpack there, Andrew.
There is. I like to make them winding.
Every time you think it's over.
Which sounds not like a good thing.
No, I like it. I really like it. Do you want to chuck Carmelo in there?
I think so now. With everything that's happened, with him losing the NXT title, mm-hmm. everything on NXT last night,
yep.
with everybody being like, what are you doing? You've lost your title. Why are you in the ring? Why are you here with us champions, Trick Williams, who's not a champion anymore? But when Trick and Ilya were talking, everybody's kind of getting in his head. Bron Breakker's getting in his head and stuff as well. I know we've got next week announced Hayes and Bron Breakker with Cena on Hayes' side and mm-hmm. Heyman on Breakker's side. But I think we can have something there. Like, people have been putting the doubt in his head. He just wants to make a name for himself. He wants to just go out there and prove that he's still got what it takes.
You could have it so Cena is in his corner, but obviously he's like, hey, I'm just out here. Hey, it's NXT, I'm doing my own thing. But then after he wins the match, you have Lashley and the Profits battered.
Yeah, you could do, yeah.
He's our boy now.
Woo!
Yeah.
But I think Carmelo Hayes would be a nice fit for the stable, and I think it's time for him to come up to the main roster as well. I think there's still stuff there to do with him and Trick Williams a little bit, but I think to make a big impact, have him go after someone like Rey Mysterio or a legend, and then have him align with Bobby Lashley would be a statement, a big statement, and make him feel like a big deal, deal.
I'm going to give you a thumbs up.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I think it's a way of bringing him in that obviously gives him a bit of stardust on the way in.
Yeah.
As like a hot prospect. And also, he could be a guy that eventually, when he breaks out of that group, becomes a star through beating that group.
Agreed.
Mm. How long term do you see Bobby's group?
I think I see it going for a long... I think Triple H has got a big old stiffy for factions warfare and things like that. And I think it's quite cool now that we're getting all these factions building up in the wake of like the bloodline crumbling to try and pick up the scraps and like go for that top spot to be like the dominant force within WWE. And I think Bobby and the Street Profits and whoever else he has joining the group has the potential to step up to that as well. and make a big old impact.
I like it, right? Because we've got Survivor Series coming up, and that could be the Survivor Series or Survivor Series War Games match.
Yeah.
Those two factions squaring off against one another, because I think a lot of us expected maybe Bloodline or Judgment Day to be involved in that.
Yeah.
But Judgment Day have plenty of gold to be defending elsewhere on the card at the moment. So to give that spotlight to two up-and-coming factions, I think is a really, really good shout.
Yeah.
Having Carmelo Hayes in that match makes it 10 times better as well.
That'd be
I
nice.
I think that could be really, really fun. So it's a yes from me.
Oh!
I wasn't sold straight away.
Yeah, because like, it took a bit to get to the point.
No, not because of that. Because I just want to see Carmelo Hayes just do stuff on his own. Because I think he's that good. But no, given the placement of the pay-per-view and how close Survivor Series is, I think that could lead on to something really sexy.
Thank you. What about if, right? What about if we have this faction, but Carmelo maybe stays on NXT predominantly to kind of...
They pop down from time
to time. Yeah,
yeah. Ah, that's cool.
If you still want to continue storylines for a little bit and then, you know, like tie those loose ends up before
like
he moves
in their
up proper.
Program.
Yeah.
So like
Like you've got to prove yourself. Like I guess what Bobby's doing with the Profits at the moment as well, being like, hey, if you're not going to prove yourself and do some good stuff, then just get lost kind of thing.
He's like their succession, his succession plan.
Yes. That's it. Yes.
Nice.
Something
so
like
Street
that.
Profits don't perform. Hey, I've got Carmelo waiting to go. He's hungry.
There you go.
Yeah, because he's testing him all the time.
Yeah. Well, you've just made my pitch better.
It needs to be two. It needs to be Carmelo and Tugboat, really.
Yeah, of course.
And then Dawkins doesn't prove himself. He gets kicked out and we've got new Street Profits.
There we go.
Tug Profits.
Tug Profits.
My next one also involves Lashley's new stable.
Oh, baby.
It's a little bit simpler, a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
And doesn't necessarily involve going to Survivor Series because of the new member that I'm going to pitch right now.
Mm.
The LWO versus Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits will be a long and competitive match that keeps the audience guessing as to who the winner is going to be. In the end, Lashley's squad will prove too much for Rey Mysterio, Santos, and whoever their third member is going to be, with Big Bobby scoring the pin for his team. While the action will be compelling in its own way, it will pale in comparison to events that happen after the match. As the losing member of the LWO is checked on by his teammates, including Zelina Vega, the cry of "I'm on my own, against the wall, the pressure's building, but no, I will never fall," will ring out over the arena sound system, heralding the grand return of Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
Bianca Belair for our American viewers, because they always have a go at me. Vega will look as if she's seen a ghost as the EST of WWE, decked out in black and gold, and with a deadly serious expression on her face, makes her entrance. While the LWO is distracted, Lashley, Ford, and Dawkins will attack, leaving only Zelina standing. At this point, Belair will get into the ring. Vega will try and turn and run, but instead walk into a Lashley-shaped wall, allowing Belair to grab her by the hair, hoist her into the air, and then drop her with an almighty K.O.D. Content with their night's work, the foursome, henceforth to be known as the Almighties.
Oh!
That's all right,
good.
It's all right, isn't it?
That's good.
Took ages to come up with that. Raise each other's hands and stand triumphant in the center of the ring. I think they really need to get to the point where they are a stable with a name now.
Yeah.
And Bianca, she's done all that she can do as a baby face, hasn't she? She's done it all. And I think a heel run could be really fun on the main roster.
Oh, that's a fat yes from me.
Go on.
That would be incredible. And I think we've been waiting for like a heel turn from Bianca for the longest time as well. And for her to come back, I think, as well, and do something as, I don't want to say drastic because she's done like heely stuff before in NXT, but I guess drastic for what we've seen on the main roster, at least for it to be like a drastic turn,
yeah,
right,
stuff.
And for her to come and do that in such a big way, I think it'd be really good way of kind of just reinvigorating her a little bit on the main roster from what we've seen for a little bit at least anyway. So big yes from me.
I'm gonna give her a new finisher as well as part of this.
Because
she can do loads of Healy stuff with the hair. She uses the hair as part of her arsenal anyway. Honestly, I'd do sleepers with the hair.
That's a good idea.
So maybe she does that instead. That's just popped into my head. But she should use the hair to her advantage, but in a Healy kind of way with
I
a basically
like that.
A chokehold.
I like it. It's a big yes from me as well.
Thank you.
The only thing I would change is I would suggest calling the group The Almighty rather than The Almighties.
No, because Bobby Lashley's already The Almighty.
But then he can give that to the group as the name. I feel like coming up against a group called The Almighty. You know,
so he's registering another trademark. Yeah, as well,
saves money on paperwork. But I think what Andrew said, I think Bel Air is long overdue a fantastic heel run.
Yes,
it's like she's done so well in her role on SmackDown, but she's done all she can as a babyface now, and with so many other forces coming in, I think she'd be a nice fit there.
I like that as well. I like the Judgment Day in the LWO where you've got like a female roster member in there as well. Mm-hmm. So then you can cover all bases of all the roster and all the TV show.
It's just a shame they'll never do a mixed tag, like a big mixed tag.
Do you not reckon?
I don't know.
I feel like they might, because they still do like the, you could still just do the once, you know, you tag the member of the same sex and the other member of the same sex has to come in.
It's clumsy though. I always feel that that breaks the flow of the match.
But then you still get the spots, don't you, where like a woman body slams one of the male rosters and stuff, and we get a little taste of it. I do know what you mean.
I think if you announce the rules outright, then it gets clumsy. I think you just say it's an 8-person tag, and then it just so happens that people tag in and out in a certain order. You don't need to over egg the pudding and explain, oh, women can only wrestle the women. And
Oh, they would.
They would. But you just that's kind of how you get around it, by just not over explaining it and just letting it happen.
It works, I guess, like with a Survivor Series, like a classic Survivor Series match, where they could never do War Games or something like that.
Which is a shame, though, as well, because that'd be really cool to see Rhea in a War Games match with like the members of the Judgment Day.
It'd be awesome,
I think it'd be
it?
So and good.
They wouldn't do that, but maybe they would do a big mixed tag, 4-on-4 or something. Anyway, thank you for the yeses.
You're welcome. I've got another suggestion. What if she does the KOD, but then afterwards she gets the with the hair thing? Double stamp it, you know what
and
I mean?
And then gets the mic and goes, that's my new finisher.
Please, names on social media, please. Thank you. Suggestions. Tom, your second pitch, my dear boy.
Righto. So this is for the tag title match.
Not again.
Here he is. Toot toot, young man, toot toot. So Cody Rhodes on SmackDown before the pay-per-view reveals to Roman his master plan. So Cody and Roman meet in the ring for the first time since Mania, and they have a nice little back and forth. Remind us that there is a story yet to be finished. And Cody warns Roman that when he and Jay win the tag titles, that means he can officially be a free agent and go on any show he pleases, which he already does anyway. But shut up. Cody and Jay Uso go on to win the undisputed tag team titles from the Judgment Day on Saturday. And for the first few weeks, like they're like, come all, we're fighting champions. And they fight champions from Raw, fight champions from SmackDown, maybe even make an appearance at NXT, defend against a team on NXT. Really work for it. It comes to a SmackDown, maybe a season premiere or something around on the road to Survivor Series, where we see Cody and Jay put the belts up against Solo Sikoa and Jimmy.
Oh.
Blockbuster main event. They go for it. There's a lot of confusion in the finish. The ref goes down. Cody lands a crossroads on Jimmy in the process. And Roman Reigns appears out of nowhere, hits a spear that takes the soul out of Jey Uso. Now, both referees come to, and one counts Cody's fall on Jimmy. The other counts Solo's fall on Rey.
Oh.
What a pickle! What a pickle! What do you do? It is decided on the following Monday that the tag team titles will be split.
Yes!
Oh!
Yes. You didn't have me until that. They need to get there, so yep.
Paul Heyman pulls strings and declares Jimmy and Solo the WWE tag champions who will reside on SmackDown, whereas Cody and Jay, as the world tag champions with new belts and all, will reside on Raw. We'll have to wait a little bit longer for Cody to finish his story. But the seeds have been planted. I don't put Cody on the same roster as Roman just yet.
Good.
Because that's, you can do that at the Rumble.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's almost like an act two type thing. When you get close to getting the baddie,
actually,
the baddie just gets away.
Because I wasn't super sold on it, but you're right. It can either happen at the Royal Rumble, or whoever wins the Royal Rumble that can then challenge the World Heavyweight Champion, and then Cody could win the Elimination Chamber to then go on to face Roman anyway, so you don't necessarily need the roster, you know, swap and stuff like that in such a, in like a, a I don't know where, what words.
No.
I like the split. I assumed the title split would have already happened. I thought the Judgment Day would have brought in some nice new shiny purple titles. Well, but and then, not. But apparently not. I like that. I think that's good. That gets a yes from me as well.
Oh, thank you.
Any pitch that involves getting those tag titles split and so you've got tag gold to go for on either brand is a big yes for me. I wasn't convinced at the start because you started talking and it was just like, okay, Roman's getting involved and then the refs are down. Oh, big ref bump, more bloodlines nonsense. Just rinse and repeat, right? But it's worth dealing with all that just to get to the point where you've got tag straps on either brand. So, it's a yes from me.
It's delightful, boy. Homer. Delightful.
Thank you.
And
very
no
much,
sign
everybody.
Of tugs.
And
so,
no sign of a single tugboat.
Right. Are you ready for this next one? I basically crammed two pitches into one on this one.
Okay. Oh, God.
You're in for a... Right.
Are we going to need an intermission?
I mean, you can. If you need a wee-wee.
Imagine that Always Sunny gif.
Here we go. With a cork board.
Yeah.
That's me. And then this guy...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
From here to here, 12 years ago, this happened.
All right.
No, okay. Right. So
in 1992, Ric Flair won the world title.
I'm heading over to the Last Man Standing match between Shinsuke and Seth for the world title on this one. And I know that Shinsuke basically sealed his own fate by touching the title on Monday before his match. But guess what? I don't care. Give the man the title. I want him to have the title, please. So this feud has brought new life, as I said earlier, into Nakamura, and I believe him continuously attacking Seth's back for the last few months should truly have a knock-on effect on the champion at Fastlane. We know Seth puts nothing but 110% into his matches. However, with him being so banged up at this point, perhaps in this match, he physically just can't put 110% in. He goes above and beyond to try and get the job done, but unfortunately, it isn't quite enough to keep Nakamura down. Regardless, Seth keeps pushing through, and towards the end of the match, we get some vital moments that become the nail in the coffin for Rollins' title reign. After Nakamura clears the announce table, Seth capitalizes with a rolling elbow, douche, to the back of Shinsuke's neck that leaves the challenger sprawled out on the desk. Seth ascends the barricade, looking to set up for a stomp on Nakamura that will go through the announce desk, but as he launches himself towards the King of Strong Style, Shinsuke manages to reverse it into a Michinoku driver that sends Rollins' back shattering through the table. Seth still stirs, however. It's not enough to put him down for the 10, even though he's in pure agony at this point. And Nakamura, frustrated, he starts throwing multiple chairs into the ring at this point. He's ready to put Rollins down for good. Seth mounts a comeback, though, in the ring. He sees the pile of chairs beneath him, and he knows the risk, but he still hoists Shinsuke up to the top rope, ready to hit his patented avalanche falcon arrow. It comes back to bite him in the arse, though, as his back gives out, trying to lift Shin in the suplex position, only for Nakamura to reverse it into a second Michinoku driver, this time off the top rope and onto the mountain of chairs below. Again, Shinsuke thinks this has to be a surefire way to put the champ down for good, but it isn't. Seth gets up at 9.555555, but immediately collapses to his knees. Nakamura starts wailing on Seth's back with the chairs to no avail. A Kinshasa, no avail. As Nakamura awaits the count with Rollins on the mat, he rolls to the outside and fetches a lead pipe and some tape from under the ring. He starts to tape the pipe to his leg, waiting for Rollins to inevitably rise once again. Ooh. With what little energy the champ has left, knowing his fate is practically sealed, Seth mimics Nakamura's, "Come on!" Like, just like that. Before Shinsuke bounces off the ropes and hits a lead pipe, assisted Kinshasa to finally put the superhuman Rollins down for the 10 count. Shinsuke Nakamura is your new World Heavyweight Champion. Now, post-match, Shinsuke stands tall as medical staff quickly flock to the aid of the now former champion. Not only that, but Becky Lynch also comes flying from the back to check on her husband lying flat on the mat. Now, with Nakamura heading up the ramp, he's got a smirk on his face, and Becky is just hurling abuse at the King of Strong Style as she cradles her unresponsive husband in her lap. Sounds like he's dead. Maybe he is at this point.
He's dead.
That is everybody. Until from behind comes a huge heel kick to the back of the NXT Women's Champion's head. Now, some might call this maneuver the Scorpio Rising. And those who might know whose finisher the Scorpio Rising is, yes, it belongs to one returning, Mako Satomura, who has been mysteriously absent from NXT since March of this year. Mako Satomura is here, and she's putting the NXT Women's Champion on notice.
Oh, wow!
Does this then further a thing between Becky and Satomura on NXT, or is this Satomura aligning herself with Shinsuke?
I think that's a...
Or is it both?
Very good question. I wonder... Well, no, because I think Seth would be out for this, because I was like, maybe we can roll it to Survivor Series somehow and have some sort of, like, mixed tag match between the two, but I think Mako just goes for Becky Lynch's NXT title at
that
this
works
point.
For me, because I think if Nakamura wins the world title, world heavyweight title, I should be on him, nobody else. So I like her arrival. I like her going for Becky Lynch's NXT title, but I wouldn't want to see Nakamura and Mako Satomura be an on-screen item in some way.
So
that's quite important to me. But I like it. It's a hell of an arrival. I think, given people's exposure to Mako Satomura, the reaction might not be there.
It might not be. That's exactly what I think as well.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe the pay-per-view is the wrong time to
It could be, couldn't
to do it?
It. Oh, but then
I do like it. No, but it makes a big deal of it. It makes a big deal. You try and make a big deal, and then nobody reacts.
Yeah, that's it. It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it is difficult.
But I mean, to make her feel like as big as she is like a huge star,
Yeah,
and she's incredible as well.
Casual WWE
like,
fans.
Yeah. But to make her feel like that, maybe it is something like this that makes people go, "Oh, gee, bloody hell, fire!" Like, Becky's literally in her most vulnerable at the moment because her husband's dead on the mat. And she's also been banged up from No Mercy as well. So soon coming off No Mercy, just to, like, capitalize on that and just
tear her arm
open
again.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be cool if she had some sort of new look, a new Mako Satomura. I'd quite like it if she
a makeover Satomura.
Hey!
Whoa! It's a little bit for me again.
I get you. I do like it, and I'd be buzzing if it happened. I would just worry about the crowd response to it, and it just feeling a bit flat.
And that's nothing to do with
Samoa is a massive star. She's done it all right. But the people who are going to be there live in attendance and maybe watching at home as well might not see just how big a thing that is.
Why Mako Satomura now?
Because she's incredible, and she's not been on TV since March.
Yes.
Like, I'm not sure why. I don't know if there's been stuff in the news as to whether she's off doing other stuff for WWE or what, but like, I miss her being on TV so much. And I think her, not that I'm saying that there isn't any sort of credible people on the NXT women's roster to go up against Becky Lynch, but I think someone who could like match up to Becky Lynch. I know we've just seen Tiffany Stratton do that as well, but like someone who feels like a threat to Becky Lynch.
A new final boss
of NXT. A new final boss, because she felt like that already anyway. A new final boss in NXT. And then also to make her feel like if she did come up to the main roster as well, make her feel like a big deal going after someone as big as Becky Lynch too.
Yeah, I'll give it a thumbs up then. You explain that well. I'll give it a thumbs up.
Baby.
It's a thumbs up.
Thank you.
I like the way we haven't really talked about it. We've just been concentrating on Meiko Satomura there. But I like the way that you've really sort of protected Seth there.
That's what I wanted to do.
That's a good way to lay him out. That I really like the... What did you describe it as? The lead pipe assisted Kinshasa.
Yeah, because I think that's really good.
And I like the thing with him just like knowing like his fate is sealed.
So it's like, come on.
Let's go.
Yeah.
It's very Leon Slater versus Liam Slater from North Wrestling Thunderstruck.
Oh, I do remember that match right there.
Where Liam was just like, come on then, let's have you. Him in the edge.
So yeah, I think protecting Seth is... And it's weird as well because we're saying protect Seth and he's like, my back's broken and I'm still having matches, you know what I mean? So maybe it is in this match that we can protect him in a way where we can just let him go off and get surgery and
I think
feel
that's
better.
Especially if he's going to disappear for a bit.
Yeah.
I think it works, but he should be putting over somebody
in
a big way as he does that. I like it.
I'm just off the top of my head, I would have thought maybe the whole story's been, I've heard about your back. Should it have been Seth with his back to Seth going, come on, then let's just go. And it should have been a Kinshasa to the back.
That's what it is.
Oh, I thought it was to the front.
No, because he bounces off the ropes and he like goes to the back.
Sorry, I thought he bounced.
Apologies, I might not have explained that more thoroughly. But
well, I feel foolish.
Feel foolish. Well, thank you, boys. Right, final one, Adam. What you got?
Right, I said at the beginning of this video, this is quite a difficult one to do because there's only five matches at the time of recording on the card. And I'm not 100% sold on this one. So let me know what you think. Normally, I like to come into these when the rare occasion I do them with a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. And I gave this a lot of thought. But as I was walking in here, I was like, oh, is this the one? We'll see. The popular fiery babyface squad of Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso will look to have bagged...
Is that their faction name? Popular fiery babyface squad.
We'll look to have bagged the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships at Fastlane as they take it to the Judgment Day's Finn Balor and Damian Priest in a thrilling rollercoaster of a title match. After warding off interference from Dominic Mysterio, the match will come down to Rhodes and Balor alone in the ring, with Uso and Priest selling on the outside. After a couple of close near falls, Cody will hook Finn in place, ready to hit Crossroads for what is sure to result in the title-winning three counts. As he has in Pret, Rhea Ripley will distract the referee from ringside when, out of nowhere, Drew McIntyre appears in the ring and blasts the American Nightmare with a full-on Claymore kick. No countdowns!
none of that.
All that's left is for Balor to roll over and drape an arm over his opponent for the academic victory.
Academic victory. That's a bloody good word.
As the members of the Judgment Day collect themselves and look on in surprise, Drew will continue to stare a hole through the seemingly lifeless Cody, who appears to be knocked out from the unexpected blow. McIntyre, of course, has been hinting at turning back to the dark side. I really love what they're doing with this character, by the way. The slow burn thing is really working for me. In recent times, doing so in this fashion will catapult him back into the main event spot, giving him two ready-made programs here as well, both Cody and Jay to work with there, so I think that's handy. The motivation here, right, is Drew feeling usurped by Cody because they had quite similar career trajectories in a lot of way. They both left WWE, they both made their names on the indies and various places all over the shop, and then came back, and essentially Drew came back as the conquering hero, and now Cody's done the exact same thing.
They both beat Brock Lesnar as well. They got that.
And so Cody feels like Cody's stolen his thunder a little bit, and this puts him back. Drew needs this heel turn. As I say, I do like what they're doing with it, the little hints here and there, but he needs this sooner rather than later.
I agree. Now, I is a yes from me. Now, I pitched something similar for the last pay-per-view when we got the, you know, Cody Rhodes coming out and then he announced that Jay was going to be on Raw. Mm-hmm. My sort of pitch, like Drew coming out in that and kicking Cody's head off and something leading there. And the boys at the time were like, that's good, but who do you see coming out of this on top? Because you kind of want, that's the hardest part, is you want Cody to continue with momentum, but then you also want Drew, who's just come back, you want to see him finally pick up some wins and stuff as well.
If he's turned heel, this is a new Drew McIntyre, a badass Drew McIntyre. That's tough, isn't it? And you know what? The same goes for both of those ready-made dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want Jay.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's got to win, haven't they? That's the problem. It's tough.
It's so difficult, but I wonder if you could spin an angle where we're heading towards WrestleMania again, and maybe Cody is seeing that we're heading towards WrestleMania again and he needs to get on the card to face Roman Reigns once again for the title. Maybe you have him like on the back foot and you have him sort of losing a lot of matches, maybe to Drew, who's building a lot of momentum, and then like Cody's last surefire ditch effort is he has to go in the Elimination Chamber or something and then get his win that way, like overcome the odds in that.
Yeah, he loses the Rumble, he loses loads of matches surrounding the Rumble and Elimination Chamber. Elimination Chamber is where it all picks up again.
Yeah. But and then
that's a good way of doing
it. We can then have Drew just going on an absolute tear and demolishing everybody in his way.
Yeah.
You have Drew pin Cody.
Mm.
You then have Drew eliminate Cody from the Rumble. But Cody still gets his match with Roman. He still wins the title. Drew's got legit beef going, I've beat you twice. Why are you the guy? I've beat you and I can beat you now when it's the most important.
Mm.
So that gives you a feud straight away out of the blocks for Cody.
Oh, I like that too. Yeah. It's a yes from
Thank
me.
Thank you for making my pitch that I was unsure about
no,
work.
No, because you
saved the day there.
No.
It's a yes. It's the most likely thing to happen, I'd say.
I think it is
as
well.
As well as what we want to happen.
I genuinely do think that too. It's going to be interesting. I was thinking this as well on my way into work today. It's going to be interesting when Randy comes back too, to see where everything falls, because obviously Randy was put out in the injury angle by the Bloodline too. So if he gets involved in all of this as well, then you got Drew, then you got Randy, and you got everybody else who's like, oh, the Bloodline, why are you teaming up with the bloody Bloodline, Cody Rhodes? What's going on here? There's like plenty of stuff to sort like of sink
not,
your
he's
teeth
not been watching
there.
At all, and everything's just new to him.
So what's confused. Going on here?
Where's Woolworths gone? He used to be a three cooks here. Why is he at Greg's now?
But I like it. I like it a lot.
Cheers.
Nice one. Right.
Go on, your second. Oh, yeah, your third and final.
So the pay-per-view is going to close with Charlotte Flair versus Io Sky versus Bianca Belair. They've got time. They have a banger. Io survives with her title.
Mm.
And she celebrates as the title card appears in the corner, copyright WWE, and then the lights go out. Video appears on the screen. A helicopter. Flying through the city.
Ooh. Charlotte's in the ring.
Yeah.
Come back.
It's Budgie, the little helicopter.
Oh, if only. It's tugboat. Helicopter crossing the skyline. It lands on a roof. A man in a suit gets out of the helicopter. He runs into the building and he gets a lift down to the basement. You hear him radio and go, it's time. He gets to the basement. There's a jet black Ducati purring away. In the blacked out windows, there's somebody in the passenger seat and he nods to them. He gets in and he's the driver.
Mm.
And he drives through the city, through the streets at speed. They get to an underground car park. Driver gets out, opens the passenger door. Another man in a black suit gets out.
Jesus, man.
The man rushes into the building. He's in a lift. He's on his way up. Radio's through. It's time. Locked in. Roger. Switching sides. He exits the lift and he's on a runway with a jet black private jet waiting. The man in a suit puts a pilot's hat on.
Wait, are we not?
He's the pilot.
Arena already. Why is he getting in?
Didn't say we're in the arena.
Oh.
He puts the pilot's hat on and he gets into the cockpit. As he sits there, over the tannoy they go, all personnel present, ready for takeoff. And the jet takes off into the night sky. Drinks and dinner are served. The movie is The Wrong Trousers.
Yes.
The plane comes down and the captain says, we'll now be landing in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh.
The jet touches down where a limo is waiting. The jet door opens. The staircase comes down.
Out on a rubber dinghy.
Out steps a man in a suit.
Oh, piss off.
Who rushes down the stairs into the back of the limo, and they set off at top speed.
Ooh.
We see a limo pull off the highway, following signs for Gainsborough Field House.
Yep, yep.
It pulls into the car park. The man in the suit opens this door to the passenger side, out the back. And another man in a suit runs out, enters the building. He snakes through the dressing rooms until he finds one particular door. And it says in bold purple letters, Jade Car Valeting Services. He walks in. He asks the guy behind the desk to park the limo for him. He runs up 14 flights of stairs to the roof just in time to see a jet black helicopter landing on the roof. A red carpet is rolled out that stops exactly in the right place, and perfectly timed fireworks go off above the stadium. The helicopter door opens. I ran out of ink, so I can't remember what.
He actually did run out of ink. Look, everybody.
She comes out.
Probably tugboat. That's my pitch.
I like it.
I can't remember the rest of it. I don't want to speak on behalf of my past self, but yeah, that's the pitch.
No, come on.
Yeah, you have to.
I ran out of ink. I don't want to tell you. I got the bare bones are there.
Jay
you
Cargo
can work with that.
Out, right?
I have no idea. Could be tugboat.
I was going to.
Could be Make Us Out More.
I was going to have a Jay Cargill pitch. We're assuming that this is Jay Cargill at this point, right? Because otherwise we're just talking about...
Jay Carvalho.
Why do you want to put Jade? I'm trying to rescue this. Why do you want to put Jade? She's been announced for the other brand, isn't she?
Yeah, but here's the thing. This is the other part of the pitch. PW Insider turned out to be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
That's the other part of the pitch.
Well, damn.
Because that was going to be...
Big Mike's crying.
Mine, before that news got announced, mine was going to be Charlotte wins the triple threat because Bayley turns on Io.
Mm.
And then Charlotte is immediately dethroned, or attacked at least, by Cargill.
Mm.
But I scrapped that because I thought, if she's going on Raw...
If that was Cargill,
what do you want us to talk about here, Tom?
thumbs up or thumbs down, really?
From what you've read there,
yes, please.
It just sounds like a Fast and Furious movie at the moment, doesn't it? It's
not... Thumbs up all around.
It sounds like the layers upon layers of which Scrooge McDuck protects his mum. Just through a multitude of walls
two
and
vaults. Thumbs up and thank you very much, and then we'll hear Andrew's final pitch. I'm just sorry the ink ran out and I can't tell you how it finishes.
Two thumbs up and a thank you very much, Tom.
Yeah,
I think that was delightful. I think
it's a massive thumbs down. It's a massive thumbs down. What are you doing? What is this?
No, because right, we know that the ink ran out. We know that Jed Cargill's coming, so why don't we not come? Why don't we edge until we get there?
What? So waste 20
minutes. Edge was on Sunday.
No, he came. It's not Edge anymore.
It's the biggest thumbs down I've ever given.
Ben and Peter from Triple Jump printed something that used a lot of colour before I got this. Maybe take it up with them.
It's a thumbs down from me, Tom.
God's sake.
Andrew, save the day.
Right.
Fighting City Hall, this.
I don't know if I'm going to save the day, because I think this might be my... where am I? This might be my weakest one, but we'll see. So for as much as I want to see the world heavyweight title change hands on Saturday, right, I equally don't want to see the WWE women's title change hands. I feel like Io Sky still has so much to give as a women's champion since winning the title at SummerSlam, and her potential slash momentum with the title hasn't really reached the heights of what I think it can eventually hit. And now... obviously, we've got the extra caveat to the story in that Bayley was the one who set this match up to be a triple threat for Fastlane, perhaps due to the fact that she's a bit miffed at Charlotte's comments last week about Bayley now being essentially a stepping stone and sidekick to the women's champion. So at Fastlane, we get a backstage segment where we see the women's champion talking to Bayley and Dakota. Io lets the stable mates know that she wants to do this herself. Not only does she want to prove to the two of the best in the ring that she deserves to be the women's champion, but she wants to prove it to herself as well. Dakota takes the news perfectly well and wishes Io good luck, but Bailey is a little more confrontational. She tells Io that whilst that's a very noble way of looking at things, it's not very practical. As Io said, there's two of the very best in that ring tonight, and Bailey knows both of them inside and out. And while she thinks Io is more than capable of getting the job done, it can't hurt to have an extra pair of hands and eyes out there watching her back to ensure the title stays on as champion. Io, however, politely refuses again, but thanks her stablemates. Now, match time comes, and it's a great showing for Io, a showing with no shenanigans, just a pure showcase of what she can do with some of the very best women's wrestlers in the ring. There's moments where it looks like she's on the back foot, but she fights valiantly and brings momentum back in her favour. Towards the end of the match, however, we get a stray spear from Charlotte. It hits the ref, and the ref goes down. Asuka manages to cinch in the Asuka lock on the 16-time Women's World Champion. But amongst all the chaos, Sky climbs the turnbuckle and hits an over-the-moonsault on the two challengers. Now, a dazed Flair rolls out of the ring. Io goes for the cover on Asuka. However, the ref is still down and can't count the pin. Io is beside herself at this point. She's been through the ringer, but with the official out, this gives Bailey the opportunity to run down to ringside. She snatches the title off the timekeeper's table and frantically just slides the championship into the ring. But in doing so, she misjudges her trajectory and it ends up landing slap bang in the middle between both of Io and Asuka. The confused Sky looks at the title, looks at Bailey, and starts asking her stablemate, "What are you doing, you dafty? This isn't the way she wanted to do things." Bailey starts apologizing profusely, and it's like distracting Io at the same time as well, because they're getting in this little tete-a-tete. And as that's happening, we see the camera. Asuka is slowly crawling towards the title with a smirk on her face. That is until, quickly from behind, comes a recovered Flair who hits the natural selection on the Empress, but as she comes out of the move, Io manages to capitalize off the momentum, bounces her off the ropes, and gets a roll-up pin as the ref stirs back to life for the three count. Io Sky retains the title. Post-match in the ring, Io is celebrating a huge victory against two of the very best. Despite everything, she still hugs Bailey in this victorious moment, and Bailey raises Io's arm. Bailey sees the title on the canvas. She goes to pick it up, but instead of handing it to the champion, she snaps and slams Io in the back of the head with the championship, thus ending their friendship.
Oh, friendship and ended.
Scene.
Oh, man. You did the Bailey turn.
I did the Bailey turn.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. It's fine. It's all right.
Yeah.
I think just with everything that's happening at the moment in terms of, I mean, it feels like it's been descending between the stable for a little while. I feel like Io, as much as I love her as a champion, and I very much do love her as a champion, I don't think she's had quite as much time to shine. It feels like she's kind of been put in the back a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It feels like not a lot of focus has been on her. And I think her going off away from Damage Control to prove herself as this dominant champion would be a great thing for her. And also, if it's in a program with Bailey as someone who's like, you know, a decorated champion and a decorated women's wrestler, I think that'd do wonders for Io as well as champion too.
Yeah, I like the fact that Io retains the title. If they were to feud Bailey and Io, I'd like Io to come out on top of that, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's something proper for Io to really sink her teeth into, isn't it?
I
think a proper story. And, you know, Damage Control, they've done a fair bit here and there. But to me, there's something about it where it's never felt like WWE have fully committed to them.
No, no,
and
I agree.
They don't feel like a proper stable. And it's been over a year now. And that's daft, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hope I'm not alone in saying that. No disrespect to the performers involved at all, because I think they could have been brilliant as a stable. But they haven't been brilliant as a stable. There's been great performances from the stable members. But I think now, maybe cut your losses and crack on with that. And there's a ready-built story, so I really like it.
Yeah, it's felt like that for a little while. Remember at SummerSlam last year where we were like, oh my God, this is huge. Yeah, this is huge. And then for the longest time, they were just picking up losses after losses. Shop. And it was like, where are we going with this? And then obviously we saw Io finally get the title. But again, it's kind of stagnated again a little bit. Yeah. We saw her have the really good title defense against Asuka recently, and I think that was a great showing for her. But I think there's still more to it. I don't want her to drop the title to Asuka or Charlotte I just wanted to have a nice lengthy reign and for like some of the more veteran women on the roster to put her over a little bit as well.
What a waste it would be as well, the money in the bank stuff, to have her drop the title so soon without showing us what she's obviously capable of doing. By the way, you said something really, really funny in that picture.
What did I say?
You went, she's in there with two of the best women's wrestlers in the ring.
Where you go, world?
I was like,
they are two of the best in the ring.
Of all wrestlers in the ring, they are the top two.
I was given this magic coffee yesterday, right? And I was writing these, and I was like, I don't know what I'm saying. It was just spewing out of my fingertips. So there you go.
Would you have it so like Bayley loses to Io Sky? But I think there's magic in a couple of matches with them. So like Bayley loses to Io Sky, but Bayley maybe wins the Rumble.
Maybe something like that. And then we get like a big match between
the
two.
They have a big Mania match, those two. A big sort of gimmicky Mania match to really send Io Sky off.
I think
that would
be really good. And even if there is a title change at Mania there, as long as Io has a really solid run from now until...
Whoa, until then.
Mania. The table didn't agree with that. But then again, I guess like a massive win at Mania looked great for Io at the same time too. It's difficult. It's difficult, but yeah.
Well, it's an overdue thing and you've set it up and knocked out the park beautifully there. It's a thumbs up from me.
Thank you very much. And thank you. I had some more coffee earlier today.
I want the coffee you're drinking. It looks fantastic.
Double espresso, baby. And thank you in that camera right there. Thank you very much for watching our 9 pitches video for Fastlane this Saturday. However, this isn't the end of the Fastlane content. You're going to have a lot more coming up in the future. The future being this weekend. I'm getting there. You'll have the podcast. You will have live reactions for the pay-per-view from myself and Adam. Cultaholic, youtube.com/cultaholic/live. We'll be on there doing our live reacts. You'll have WTF.
He's missed one.
Not long after that. No, I'm going to get there. What's coming tomorrow? You'll have predictions on Friday. You'll have what happened
Thursday.
Not long after. Wait, you'll have the what happened at. I was doing so well.
It's like Dermot O'Leary.
You'll have a news, and then you'll also have the WTF moments for the pay-per-view as well from one wonderful Ross Twiddell.
Young Michael Barrymore.
God damn
He's nailing it.
God damn it. I felt strong in the intro and it's just... I've plateaued everybody. I just plateaued. Right. Thank you very much for joining us. Boys, have you got anything else you would like to say to close out this wonderful video?
Go on, here we go.
Livid with... I was going to say livid with Triple Jump for using all the ink. But I will end and say to you at home... Toot toot, young man.
Toot toot.
Toot toot.
And lest I forget, our final catchphrase of the video, we've introduced this new catchphrase, right? So when I say life's a pitch, and then
it's what we want to happen.
Life's a pitch,
and then you die.
That's really good.
There you go. It's good, isn't it? I don't know why we didn't think of it earlier. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.